my life, and I couldn't wait to get here. And it lives up to its reputation. It is beautiful. And I'm just jealous. Because we don't have a beautiful, our church is okay, and it's getting better. But it's not like this, so I'm just asking to say, okay, Lord, you don't give it everybody the same, but I get this to be with you and be happy with it. But thank you for inviting me to this weekend, and I hope when you go away, that you remember the end of the weekend, because we're going to talk about being a fragrance this weekend. I really came to challenge you. And sometimes that hurts. Sometimes we don't like to be challenged. Sometimes we'd rather stay in our little rut and not have to move out and move on. But let me know if that's the way I am. Someone is less than that I could stay in that rut until it becomes a day when it caves in. And really, sometimes I think that about my own life. You know, the Lord doesn't leave us that way, does he? He changes us, and he moves us out, and we have new experiences. And so this weekend, I'd like to challenge us in the area of, what is your fragrance? What perfume are you wearing? I cannot see your fragrance. And you cannot see mine, but it carries its presence. Step into an elevator or a small and safe area somewhere. Without saying a word, the fragrance tells you a lot, doesn't it? You may sense the food, fragrance, appealing, alluring, tickling, smell, or you may encounter someone who is just coming in from the jog or running, and the sweat smell may just kind of be a little repulsive, and it may be someone who just went to lunch and there's garlic and onions and cheese. I mean, really, think about it now. Somebody might want too much to feed, somebody might need some. So let me take you back to a happy time, a place, which is a summer gift. Remember, there's a big part of smell, isn't it? It can either be a pleasant or unpleasant thought. Have you ever walked through the woods in the springtime and smelled a honeysuckle? In the South, we have a lot of sweet smells. I love the gardenia and the jasmine and the magnolias and the tulip. My tulip tree, I came home, I was out of town from Sunday to Wednesday night. When I came home, my whole tulip tree was in full bloom. And if you've ever smelled a tulip, you know it's just so fragrant. How about walking into a kitchen where someone is baking fresh bread? Mmm. Or wake up early in the morning to the smell of fresh coffee. What about fresh rain on a newly plowed ground? My daddy was a farmer, so I love that smell growing up. Why do you think they put cinnamon rolls at the entrance to a mall? You know, I just tasted and simulated and they rushed into action almost immediately. Have you ever been to the Hershey's factory in Pennsylvania and the chocolate smell is in the parking lot? You know, you can't wait to get inside. And I have to tell you this. If I smell a certain aftershave to this day, I will throw up. Because that's what my husband wore 39 years ago when I was pregnant and it made me sick. So, you know, there are lots of smells. I remember my mother dressing her fruitcake, and oh, it was such a flavor, you just wish you could gobble it. And I think sometimes your body's candles smell like cakes and things, they're just taking on to that idea. But the impression of a smell or a fragrance can only be given to someone who can smell it. You can't see it, you can't touch it, you can't feel it. It's just there. You know it's there. It might even be an observator. A real estate agent was trying to sell a house, and she said, it's a perfect house, but the dog has to go.
See, it wasn't a 100-pound yellow log that was there. It was just the smell of a dog. And sometimes we try to camouflage the smell that was, I don't know, that's either candles and deodorizers and incense or fabric soft machines or eucalyptus. Or sometimes I've even heard ladies sticking a bowl of open coffee under the bed. You know, just some ways to camouflage smell. As I was preparing for this talk, I went on the web. You know there are 9 million websites on fulfillment expedients? 9 million. I thought, oh, I'll do a little research. Forever. Now, I'm going to tell you a few of the things that I learned about fragrances and perfumes. To correctly wear perfume, spritz it in the air and walk under it. Apply to the nape of your neck, to your inside elbow, of course, to your cleavage and behind your ear. That's where they put you, you know. Feel free to spray it in your hair. Never spray it on silk. If you're allergic, apply a small bit to your wrist. If you break out within an hour, stay away from it. Diet, thin tights, and your perspiration. Let me say sweat down faster. I try to do that more. Perspiration determines your personal aura. Measurements and things can wear the same perfume and smell alike. And all of the manufacturers will tell you that's not supposed to be true, but it really is true. If you're installing a fragrance in a cool, dry place, sun will alter it, it will discolor it, and it will evaporate it. And never try more than 3 fragrances at a time when you're in a store somewhere. You can lose it. And I was interested in some of the names of perfumes. Listen to this. Escape, eternity, obsession, passion, opium, poison, reality, white diamond, wounds, chloe, etc. Chance is the best new female fragrance. Awarded at the Speakeasy Oscars in London. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to give all of you ladies, I didn't try to do it tonight because I think some ladies are coming into the day tomorrow, that I would like to give you some fragrances tomorrow. Each one of you will get a sample. If you're allergic, don't open it. In fact, no one open it. But Chance is going to give some of these samples. So if you get one, you have green cottage new to fill them out. Highly trained and gifted experts who are responsible for creating new perfumes are called noses. And Estee Lauder has 3 of these noses. And these 3 people will make or break a perfume launch. You think about it. And they said, this is a quote, if the instincts of these 3 people on which we base our multi-million dollar launch, actually, it's kind of scary. Just about any smell in the world is fair game for a fragrance or perfume. Perfume, you know, is made up of alcohol and water and the perfume oil. Well, perfume itself can have as many ingredients up to 250 ingredients in one fragrance. And the strong perfume has 15 to 18% oil, 4 to 8% perfume oil, and 20 3 to 5%. I just put that in the spot a couple months ago, and the perfume department actually picking up some samples for you. And the guy in the department, I love downtown Atlanta. It's all the rich place in Atlanta. The guy told me that myrrh and frankincense have made the biggest comeback in the last 2 to 3 years. Isn't that interesting? Estee Lauder says, there's a creative spirit that has to make people feel good. Our philosophy is to make women feel beautiful, physically and emotionally. And one of the quickest ways is to lift women's spirit through smell. So, fragrance is all around us. The business world makes a lot of money off of fragrance. But you see, fragrance is important to us as believers as well. I remember when I was in Istanbul, and we went to the St. Sophia Mosque in Istanbul, Turkey. We were told that when that mosque was built by Constantinople, that they mixed musk into the manure when they put that musk together and it's a good set on the sun side of it, you can still smell musk. So fragrances are out there before us every day. Now let me turn with me tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll read out the name of the weekend. We'll pick up with verse 14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph and praise, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. So we are a fragrance of Christ to God. Among those who have been saved and among those who are perishing, to the one an aroma from death to death, and to the other an aroma from life to life, and who is adequate for these things? Christians are to be a fragrance to Christ. God desires that these people demonstrate a unique quality of life, that the world around us will be attracted to not some strange, odious odor, but something that is tantalizingly different. Are you tantalizingly different? Does the world look at your life and say, oh, I'm attracted to Christ through that person? Really, our fragrance for Christ is simply a reproduction of Christ in us. If you know anything about my life, it is appealing in a Christian way. It's not me. It's not you. It's Christ. The Holy Spirit is trying to mold us and transform us and shape us into the likeness of Christ. And that fragrance will radiate, it will permeate, it will smell to those around us. You see, Christ in person has gone to the Father's house, but Christ in character is in us. And we are to be a fragrance of Christ. You see, it's our character, it's our lifestyle, it's our attitude. Either they can be attractive and pleasant and pleasing, or they can be distracting or disappointing. You see, the Lord says in this verse that we want to be a sweet aroma of Christ in every place. And it's interesting that Paul writes here that to some we are a smell of death to death, and to others a fragrance of life to life. And I think to the ungodly, to the unsaved, to those who don't know Christ as their Savior, we are a fragrance of life to life. Because they see the life in us and they're drawn to life and they want that life. But it says also that we are a fragrance of death to death. And why would he say that? I think it's because as believers, as Christians, we are attracted to each other when we die to self. And Christ is manifested in our life, and that fragrance flows from our life. And so our aroma and our fragrance is death to death. And we could say with Paul, I die daily. And others see Christ in you, and they are drawn to that fragrance. The very first time that fragrance was used in the Bible was in Genesis, when they were built an altar to the Lord, and he built an altar, and it says the Lord smelled the sweet odor. So the very first time that the word fragrance was used in the Bible, it involved sacrifice. Fragrance is used 3 times in the New Testament, here in the verses that we read tonight, and in 2 other places. Here in Corinthians, we are to be a fragrance of Christ. In Ephesians 5:1-2, Christ's death on the cross is a slave to God. And then in Philippians 4:18, the church at Philippi, it's Paul from the funeral assistant, and he says that that was a fragrance to God. But what I want you to take in all three instances, the word fragrance involves sacrifice. Every breath of your whole life and my whole life is to be a fragrance to God and a fragrance to Christ. They're unsaved neighbors that are looking around, their co-workers, their classmates, their husbands, their children, even at our house. And the fragrance of our life radiates from our life to those around us. Now, there are many ways to have a sweet aroma. Do you have a forgiving spirit? Are you angry? Are you jealous? Are you envious? Are you joyful? Do you have a pleasant attitude? Do you have a thankful spirit? Are you going to be people who really appreciate it when someone does something for you? Do you let them know that? Or you take it for granted and go about your way? Are you submissive? Do you obey the word of God? Are you a doer of the word? Not just a hearer only? See, that's the fragrance. That is something someone will notice in their life. Do you love the soon appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you excited about the rapture? Can you believe it might be today? And does that excite you? I hope it does. Maybe it could be today. When you and I go home. Yeah, that would be going on your life. That kind of hard, absolutely. Do you witness to others? Tomorrow afternoon, we're going to talk about my little heart feelings, and we're talking about witnessing. That is a fragrance of Christ. Rosemary, you know that. Rosemary, the power of life and death. We've been through the sweet breath of time. Isn't it a fragrance of Christ? Or do I just not want to be around you? Is your life clean? Is there something that's really bothering you down there you just cannot get a grip on it? Or are you guilty? Your conscience is bothering you? Is there really a holy fragrance about you? See, that's what Christ wants us to be in this world. He didn't just save us to take us to heaven. He wants us to be desperately Him. And the smell of our lives goes throughout the world, and we are representing our wonderful Savior. Tantalizingly different. Are you different from the world around you? Or does the world squeeze you into its mold? How do you live? Do you live for this world only? How do you live for eternity? How important is this truth in your life? Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength? I pray we come up here, and I stuck it in my notes. My little 9-year-old granddaughter wrote me a card last night for my birthday. A song of Haley for Grandmama. And I tell you, if I had time to read this to you, flip the page in a little bit, I would read it to you. But I'd be way over time if I do. So maybe I can read it some other time. I make it personalizably. Do you really want it? Are you going to get mad with me if I go a little bit over? How did I get that one then? I wrote that one real, didn't I? I want you to remember this was written by a 9-year-old child. This was from my birthday. She gave it to me last night. And it's a fragrance for me. In fact, here's my husband. It does mean a song of Haley for Grandmama. What a name. Oh Lord, my Lord, how glorious is your name in the world. All of you, creator, maker of all things, you were there at the beginning. The first day of the earth was witnessed by you.
From your fingers came the beauty of this world, from your hand the splendor of our planet. El Elyon, God Most High, King of the Universe, you are in all places, even the tiniest organisms obey your call. From the elephant to the amoeba, all creatures are in awe of you. El Roy, God who sees, our protector, the littlest form does not escape your eye. You will not be harmed if it is not your will. We will not be harmed if it is not your will. You say our life is due and from the back. Your action on our part goes unseen by you. And for that, all sufficiency, everything. Without you, we would be nothing. The world would be empty if you did not care. You are everything we need, the source of our life. Adonai, the Lord, our King, ruler, Savior. Praise you throughout the whole earth. Praise your mercy, your protection, your love, your power. Let every creature be in awe of you. Jehovah, that existent one, needless. You were never created, and you will never die. You did nothing to live. It is beyond our comprehension that you have been here forever. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. You notice our every need and give it to us. You are caring enough to give us breath and to let us live. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Your banner of love is waiting for over us. You are a banner of victory, shouting to the world that you have won. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. Your peace fills us with joy. You are feeling like Satan who brings war and sorrow to the world. You love peace and love to give it to us. Jehovah Ra'a, the Lord my shepherd. You are the great shepherd to us, the little foolish lamb. You took us up when danger is near. When we go astray, you patiently bring us back to your path. You make sure we have food and water, and you watch them over us night and day. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. You are able to cure every disease that exists on the earth. You care about someone who has a cold, the same amount as someone who has AIDS or SARS. You love to nurse and care for your children. Health is a gift from you. Jehovah Shama, the Lord is there. No matter where you are, your presence is there with us. You are as close to someone in China and someone in California. You care about all the billions of people on the earth. Or praise your holy name. O Lord, be Lord, how glorious is your name in all the world. That was my pleasure with me last night. Are you living here, your planet? Is there a present about your life? Or is the grass greener on the other side of the fence? Sometimes, have you found that that grass is really just astroturf? As my friend said, somebody just used a little bit more manure. The grass is not always greener on the other side of the fence. We are too green here in your corner, and that fragrance is to go out to those that are around us in our little circle. Now, there's an imitation between. That's what I was here. Are there imitations in your grace? We had a 51-step speaker who was blind some years ago. There were about 250 ladies at this meeting. And I stood at the door as everyone went out to tell this lady goodbye. She detected and told every lady, every single one, 250 of them, what kind of perfume they were wearing. And she didn't miss one, except me. And she said, "You're wearing Giorgio." I said, "No." And then Kuma, and then the person, she said, "They're never buying Georgia." "They're never there." She said, "Satan is an imitator as well. He's that angel of light. And he loves to deceive us. And he loves to put on a false imitation program." Susan and I were talking about that on the way up here to the governor. Satan is so subtle.
to introduce about doctrine or to come in and break up a Christian home. We save our lives just as it's given us. We never been able to teach the girls, and we don't have time to pray, and we don't have time to be in God's Word. Well, I want us to turn to the book of the Song of Solomon tonight. This book was called by the Jews the Holiest of Holies. They never allowed anyone to read it until they were 30 years of age. Can you believe that? It's thought to be such a sacred book. Someone has read that it is a mass of diamonds sparkling with brightness. Most of us know that this is a lost song, and it's a type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ on the church. He is a bridegroom and we're the bride. We know the Paul tells us that Christ loved the church and gave himself for us. Ladies, you and I are part of the church, the bride of Christ. I have often said over the years, if I could have chosen any time period to be born, I wouldn't have been born on Noah's day. I wouldn't have wanted to live in Abraham and Sarah's day. I wouldn't have wanted to live in David's day. I wouldn't have wanted to live even in the New Testament. I would not have really wanted to be on the earth when Jesus was here. If I could have picked the time and hoped to be born and come to your Christ as my Savior, it is in this time here because I am part of the church. I'm part of the bride of Christ. And here to do it, and you must be getting the closest in the bride and the bridegroom. And here to do it, and a privilege to get in with our bridegroom on planet Earth. So tell me through the Song of Solomon, we want to read in chapter 4, verses 12 through, maybe through verse 16. The bride is speaking, the Lord Jesus is speaking, the bridegroom, a garden lot with my sister, my bride, a rock garden lot, a stream filled up, the roof, an orchard of pomegranate, with two fruits, honey of nard, myrrh and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all the seeds of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, along with the finest spices, you are a garden spring, a well of fresh water, and springs flowing from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come, wind of the south, make my garden breathe out fragrance. Let its spices be wafted abroad, and may my beloved come into this garden and eat its fair fruit. Close it over there, turn over to Galatians chapter 5 or 6. I'll have to find it. I know it. Galatians 5, and you know it as well. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no such law. In the Song of Solomon, the church is called an enclosed garden. We are a garden. And in this garden, we're going to look at these 9 plants and these 9 trees that are in this garden. And we would like to compare those 9 plants and trees to the 9 fruit of the Spirit. And parallel these, and I think you see it as we go along. But in this enclosed garden, when I think about this enclosed garden, there's several things that come to my mind. First, it reminds me of the nearness of our relationship with Christ. As I said a minute ago, you're the parent and he's the bridegroom. But he says that you are my sister. Now that's a family relationship. But he also says that you are my spouse. So that's even closer. I hope you can grasp it. And I hope your heart just dances through that. We are the bride of the Messiah. 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 and who can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? He made us, neither height, nor depth, nor angles, nor principalities, nor powers, nor principles, nor things to come to overthrow this most complete and perfect mystical union between Christ and the church. Ladies, we are so blessed. So what do you say after? My Father, who had given them to me, is greater than ours. You have overthrown and no one has overthrown us in heaven. Who can I have made? I am the Father of God. I love you. But when I doubt it's the truth, you see that no spiritual enemy that has ever penetrated the spirit of the divine heart. You know, if the Lord is hidden in the dead, Jesus is alive. Jesus has his name and blood that lock. Yes, it is. But that garden says there is no secret garden. Did you know that the middle of the King's Garden is Aslan, Abraham, Ethnia? You couldn't even go on to the King's Garden. Now, this is the highest of Hannibal, Ethnia, and Abala, and the last of the King of the Lord, and above that. And you do it, the land is where we do it. But it's that land is not just in the Middle East. You see, that garden is where the King and the King reign. It was for his pleasure, for his enjoyment. The medium of law of it is just blow through. And joy. He had worked in that garden, he had planted it, he had got the flowers or whatever it was there for beauty and for his satisfaction. And it's perfectly enclosed. And that means it was alive and it's in New Texas. That tells us that temple would speak out, the little foxes would fall around, the jackals, the animals, or whatever would come. And you know that we are prepared to come into your life and it has filled us through God's fingers of love. Listen, you and I are protected. You know, that's a wonderful thought. This garden is in contrast to the far sandy, barren, new ground of the Middle East. Well, the first one of these steps, which is my favorite, and I'd like to look at tonight.
The first one is that
the purpose is that I'm not going to be able to do that. you're not that old. You don't know how to emphasize it. You know the doubt as to whether you're going to heaven. What is it? What is it? And I'm like, well, you're going to come back to what you're going to do. And I'm like, well, what did you left behind?
I'm not going to be able to do that.
There is a deep contentment and satisfaction with God. Did you get that?
Yes.
Love. And there is a deep contentment. Deep contentment with everything with God. And all the goodness of His name. All the mercy of God. And what do you say in the upper world?
My mother was not about a step.
I tell you a step that these things are
coming
to you. But my joy, my remaining
that I
have
written
and I have not
before.
And it's like this. What are you talking about? He said,
I'm here with my soul.
It is only the
soul of
sin.
Oh,
what is this? And I think that's where our joy comes, ladies, the believers. We have complete satisfaction. Complete contentment. Knowing that we're obedient to the Lord and serving Him. Now, why is the symbol of joy in the Bible? And that's what is not simply most at stake. Jesus is not great. Red goats, green goats, black goats, what other kind of goats are made, do you? You see, you cannot become one, but symbol of joy. The good joy to the finger that frees you to make you one. And sometimes you'll be squeezed, baby. Sometimes you'll hurt. Sometimes there's a joy there in the hurt, and should be in the hurt if we are obedient to the Lord. We are not accountable to the Lord, but the joy of the Lord is just great. You know, joy can be a strength in your prayer. You can joy in your suffering. James said, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So, as I said, there are many ways of finding joy. So, this prayer too is not known. After the death of Christ, of keeping the soul with God, bound over his soul and blood of the true soul, the purest, peace and joy. I forget the world and everything except God. Righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. Joy, joy, Jesus, peace. I was far from God, mad world. But I surrendered myself to Jesus Christ, my Redeemer. How did you know that cost of the cross you? When somebody found your body. Joy, joy, Jesus, Jesus. Third fruit on the third path, which is our work of tonight, is one of us now. Remember the cypress blossoms that belong to the willow family. The white blossoms come in the sunshine, the small, but producing large mouthfuls that are extremely fragrant. And the dark flowers return a very heavy scent. The blossoms are removed and they are pressed immediately to retain that the oil to be used in perfume. Sometimes they would gather the roots and the leaves, but it was always pressed into powder. And I know you've seen henna. It's used in dyes to do the seminaries and that kind of thing. But henna is found in Israel up in Jadis near the Dead Sea. And I remember seeing in Jadis for the first time. It's across from the Dead Sea. In Jadis was David caught out from Pharaoh. And it's completely desert. When I say desert, it's as bare as a trail of salt. I mean, there is nothing there for about 60 miles. But tucked up in this hills, there's a full oasis. And in this oasis is the most beautiful waterfall you've ever laid out there. And so David wrote in Psalm 32:1, as a deer plants to the water, so plants my soul unto thee, O God. You see that deer runs and runs and runs and runs, and the jackals are after a right animal for the deer, running and running and running and running and running through the desert. And it gets to the area and the water, fresh water, just tucked in the woods in the middle of the desert. And they've done archaeological studies there, and they have proven that there was a flourishing perfume industry there up in Gedi. And I have to say that I really think that the fruit of the Spirit is parallel to that. Can you imagine that deer running and running and running and thirsting and thirsting and thirsting and finding peace and water and safety and security? And as you know, this stuff of peace has been unfruitful. So there's been very little peace in the world. The United Nations peacekeepers could turn us out, couldn't they? I think Washington, D.C. is full of peace monuments. I think we put one up after every year. Someone has well said, peace is a monument in which nations take time to reload. Sad to say that there's very little peace in the world today. The world Jerusalem itself has Salem and it was new peace, and Jerusalem, all cities in the world, have more bloodshed than any other one. See, the Prince of Peace was born at Bethlehem, right 2 miles south of Jerusalem. And that Prince of Peace brought heaven's peace with us. And the other Jesus wants us to be fragrant daily in our lives with that same peace that can only be found in Him. Ladies, you can search the world over, and I'll tell you right now, there's absolutely nothing that will be received outside of Jesus Christ. Even here in the morning, I think you see way down in the deepest resources of your heart. Jesus, that undisturbed tranquility. Now, oceanographers say that you can have these violent storms raging the seas at the deep end of the ocean. When you get down to the bottom of the ocean, it's totally tranquil. And just so long sometimes, we have these storms in our lives that underneath it all, what do we have? The peace that passes all understanding. When it only comes, we fall. And I have to say tonight, it's a peace of God ruling our hearts. As I ask to say, if I will teach him in perfect peace, his mind is full of anger. Have you ever heard that illustration, the word stays on your knees, please? Talk about the band and tennis. God will teach his mind in perfect peace. If I will teach him in perfect peace, his mind is full of anger. Check that rubber band in any direction you want it to go and let it go and let it come. Bam. Right back there. God wants me to be calm to the rhythm of the people of perfect peace. Now it is quite now. I have a sample with me. I'll let you smell it tomorrow morning. Quite now is ladies of the Himalayas of India. It has a clear color, like our pillow, and our clean silk, it has a clear color to cover its roots, and to protect its stem and leaves from the cold and the wind. And it has a little cluster of small flowers, or cauliflowers for its oil, and ancient times, spikenard was the most expensive of all the perfumes in the world. Remember Mary, like the sister of Bethany, knew that Jesus was about to die, and she brought that genuine box of nard, spike nard, very special, a year's wages, and a mourner for the Jesus. Now, what he wants to say, Paul said to her, I want to say, before. What a kingdom is this? Peanuts and spike knives. Rare, faster crops. This is the peace that we possess in Christ. And I want to read a couple of paragraphs in this book I wrote. This comes from Ann Ortland. And it's very challenging. And I hope you will open your heart to the Holy Spirit tonight. And so far, Mary was all about the face of Mary to the bed of where Jesus was. She broke the box and put it on him. And all about the world, milky, white, burned, smooth, precious, and pure mad inside. Gone forever. According to John 4:3, the whole house became filled with the fragrance. Christians fall into church on a Sunday morning, one by one they walk in, like special alabaster vases, contained, self-sufficient, individually complete, complex, and discreet, no perfume, and nothing at all. These vases aren't bad looking, it's like some of them are beautiful people, but they have become very conscious. Conscious of their own race, and of one another. They are aware of clothes and personalities and position in this world of the exterior, so before and after church and maybe during, their after-class race track. Mary broke her way. Broke it? How shocking. How controversial. Was everybody doing it? Was it a vase breaking party? No. She just did it all by herself. And what happened then? The obvious. All of the contents were forever destroyed. She could never have her precious nod to herself again. Many bodies who fall into personal darkness are because they have Jesus inside of them. Jesus! Precious, exciting, life-giving. But most of them keep them shut up, contained, enclosed all of their lives. And the air is full of nothing. They come to church and sit. These long rows of cold, beautiful alabaster vases. Then the cold, beautiful alabaster vases get up and walk out again, silently, or maybe talking about cold alabaster talk. To repeat the ritual week after week and year after year. Unless it just gets a bit of a trip. The need for Christians everywhere, and no one is a trip, is to be broken. The vase has to be smashed. Christians have to rip the life out. It refills the room with prayer. And the congregation will all be broken shards. Mingling together. Of course, it's after an experience. You want not to be broken. Oh, it's easy to keep up that cold alabaster front. It's costless in reality. Ladies, have you ever been broken? Are you afraid, face of love, contained, understood, no person in the world, a beautiful person in the outside, but all around you is full of nothing? Three things. Pomegranate, love. Mercy, spirit. One of the spike knives, love, joy, peace. Three fragrances that absolutely should come from our broken life. Are you willing to be broken? Are you willing to say, Lord, do anything to create your fragrance in you? Is this evidence? Is this evidence? he wants us to know for him. I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know what this is about. Are you a believer? You may still need to be broken. I may need to be broken. The Lord hasn't finished with me yet. And neither has the Lord. If you're not a Christian, you definitely need to be broken. So you can receive Christ as your Savior. Hey, God. Nevada, Colorado, Wall Street, one of the spot mods, love, joy, and peace. What's your favorite? Very good. Father, we bow in your presence. We thank you for our love and favor. Father, that relationship we have with you is more than our hearts can take away. All those beautiful names that Holy Word about, that we could repeat back to you. Every one of them. The names of us to you for 2020 in our life. The strength in us, we are hidden to Christ in God, and we have first and third of us. Some of us himself have come out of the spirit of God in our life. If we are available to you, we submit our lives to you and we use the river spirit of our lives. So, Father, give us our thoughts to yourself, and may we truly love you with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our soul, and all of our strength. Give us a good night for us, a great time of fellowship. We thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, and his wonderful salvation so freely provided for us. We bow in your presence and we say thank you. And we do love you because so far. And we pray in our Savior's precious name. Amen.